after days of civil unrest, an arrest has been made in the death of George Floyd.
I'm here to announce that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is in custody. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been charged by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office with murder and with manslaughter.
Plus, what new data tells us about the state of the economy.
In terms of consumer spending, we're operating at a very low level, and it's still an emergency situation in many ways because of the health pandemic. But at the same time, a lot of economists are saying maybe the worst has passed. And, you know, from here, hopefully things have bottomed out.
It's Friday, May 29th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. President Trump today announced a series of policy moves against China. The measures include blocking entry for Chinese nationals that are seen as security risks and rolling back special preferences for Hong Kong citizens. Speaking at the White House's Rose Garden, the president said the steps are being taken in response to various actions by the Chinese government, including Beijing's move this week to increase national security control over Hong Kong.
The Chinese government's move against Hong Kong is the latest in a series of measures that are diminishing the city's long-standing and very proud status. This is a tragedy for the people of Hong Kong, the people of China, and indeed the people of the world.
Trump also said the U.S. is ending its relationship with the World Health Organization and will redirect WHO funding to other global public health needs. The president has criticized the WHO for how it's dealt with China during the coronavirus outbreak. Stocks recouped earlier losses in reaction to the president's announcement, but ended the day mixed. The Dow closed down 17 points, the Nasdaq gained 120, and the S&P added 14. And New York is marking a milestone in the fight against the coronavirus. The state was hit harder than any other, but now the number of people hospitalized or dying from the virus is down to levels last seen before the big spike in March. Healthcare experts say rates are falling thanks to strict social distancing rules and the use of face masks. Governor Andrew Cuomo said that New York City is set to begin reopening on June 8th. It's the last area of the state to start relaxing lockdown measures. Coming up after the break, we'll have the latest from Minneapolis. Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who held George Floyd down with a knee on his neck, has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Floyd's death on Monday has fueled protests in the city for the past few days, which at times have turned violent. At a press conference today, Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman said his office has never charged a case within such a short time frame.
I'm not insensitive to what's happened in the streets. My own home has been picketed regularly. My job is to do it only when we have sufficient evidence. We have it today.
Our reporter Erin Aylworth has been on the ground with protesters in Minneapolis.
I was talking to this trio, and they said that they had been out each night, and they really felt that they had to show up, that they needed to be out protesting, trying to effect change. A number of the protesters that I speak with have mentioned to me the past incidents here, Philando Castillo, Jamar Clark, and how, you know, this is not the first time that they've had to protest someone's death, you know, after a police interaction. And so they're constantly saying, we want to see change, we are pushing for change, and yet we don't know if we're going to see that change. And that's just been a repeated theme over the last few days.
We'll have more on this story as it develops on WSJ.com and on the WSJ app. This week brought more sobering economic data from the month of April. But as states continue reopening and Americans go back to work, what does that tell us about where things are now and what's ahead? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey. Harriet, let's start with a big number out today. Consumer spending falling at a record 13.6% in April. On the flip side of that, we saw personal income and savings go up. I'm suspecting those are connected there as Americans had fewer places to go and were spending less.
Yes. So this is a reflection of the fact that most of the country was completely in lockdown in April. And so people really didn't have much to spend their money on, apart from, you know, online and on groceries and so on. So spending went down by a record 13.6%. That's the most we have in records dating back to 1959. Personal income actually increased, though. This was interesting and surprising because we did see a big jump in unemployment in April. But what was happening was, you know, a sharp rise in government payments through the various federal rescue programs, like the stimulus payments of $1,200 and so on, and unemployment insurance payments. So that, yeah, we saw these two very diverging trends. But this potentially slightly worrying sign for the US economy was the fact that although people had more money, quite significantly more money in their pockets, they were really socking it away out of fear and uncertainty. So we saw the personal saving rate, which is, that's the difference between income and spending, that jumped to 33% in April. It was 12.7% in March, and it was 8.2% in February. So we saw this huge jump in people really putting money away for a rainy day.
Now, some economists are saying this is likely the low point here for consumer spending. As we're seeing the nation reopening now, is there more optimism that we're turning a corner here?
Yeah, I think that May has definitely seen an uptick. So we had, in early May, there was Mother's Day. And then 2 weeks later, of course, we had the Memorial Day holiday weekend. And people are just sort of getting out a bit more. You know, states are gradually reopening. There are more opportunities to spend. There are more opportunities to go out. So it's still, you know, the US economy is still, in terms of consumer spending, is we're operating at a very low level, and it's still an emergency situation in many ways because of the health pandemic. But at the same time, a lot of economists are saying maybe the worst has passed. And, you know, from here, hopefully things have bottomed out.
Let's talk about some of the other big data points out this week. Jobless claims were at 2.1 million last week, and that is a continued easing, but still coming down painfully slowly.
Yes. So the labor market is still, you know, I mean, we're talking now around 40 million new unemployment claims since the start of the pandemic, and that is totally unprecedented. And there's still a lot of pain in the labor market. It looks like some of the people who were laid off and hoped to be back at work very quickly, you know, that might not necessarily be the case. Some of these jobs could have been lost permanently. It just depends on how many businesses are able to reopen. So, for instance, if you look at people working in bars and restaurants, if places are only going to be opening for carry out or at a 25% capacity, maybe they don't need as many workers as they did before the pandemic when, you know, business was much brisker. So, I mean, economists do say that this is probably going to be a long road back. I mean, we had a 3.5% unemployment rate before the pandemic hit. That was a 50-year low. We're now in double digits, and many economists expect it to be in double digits through the end of the year. So it'll probably take a while for the labor market to recover, having had this massive, massive spike in the unemployment rate.
Another big number, we also had GDP, a contraction of 5% in the first quarter of the year. And that's expected to be worse in the second quarter. How much worse?
A lot worse. So the first quarter, we saw GDP contract at a 5% annual rate. And economists are predicting that in the second quarter, it'll be more like a 40% contraction. Now, the thing that's important to remember when looking at the way the Commerce Department measures these things is that an annual rate assumes that this pace will continue over an entire year, which no one, I don't think, really expects that what we saw, you know, the type of shutdowns that we saw in April and May would continue for an entire year. So it's almost like the way of measurement overstates the decline. But nonetheless, there is nothing, we've never seen anything like this, you know, in the post-war era. The last time we saw, I mean, in early 1958, there was a 10% decline. And then in the worst of the last recession, the financial crisis, there was a decline of about 8.8%. But 40% is just completely unprecedented.
Overall, Harriet, what can we say about the most recent data and what it can tell us about the state of the U.S. economy right now and the challenges going forward?
Well, when we look at a lot of the data that's coming out, because, of course, US government data is released with a lag of, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or so, and it does look bad and scary. On the other hand, we also get a lot of real-time indicators that suggest that things might be getting, you know, are kind of on the right track now, that we might have bottomed out. So, for instance, people are traveling more. We're seeing more people travel by plane. You know, people are driving more. We're seeing more people get out and about. And, you know, things like restaurant meals bookings are picking up ever so slightly. So those are all important signs that, you know, despite the fact that we saw this massive plunge in output due to the coronavirus shutdown, people are still feeling, you know, relatively confident, and or at least a bit more confident to go out and to spend money.
All right. A bit of good news there. Wall Street Journal reporter Harriet Torrey. Harriet, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, SpaceX will get another shot at some bragging rights on Saturday. The company will be back on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral to send two NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. The first attempt on Wednesday was scrapped due to poor weather. If successful, the launch would be the first from U.S. soil in nearly a decade, and SpaceX would be the first private entity to send astronauts into orbit. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. We'll be back on Monday morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.